When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
We'll have a gospel reading in a moment, but first I'd like to pray the prayer for the day of Pentecost for this year. Pentecost, or the Festival of Weeks, Shavuot, as it is in Hebrew, which is celebrated by our neighbours as well in this season, is a time of celebrating the sending of the Ten Commandments and the law on Mount Sinai, because in the book of Exodus it's read that it was 50 days after the escape from Egypt that happened. And there's people are still giving thanks for the sending of the law to this day around us in the synagogues in Caulfield. But there's a beautiful matching up, because just as the law was sent to Israel, so the Spirit, who is the law of God in our hearts, was sent to us. And this collect beautifully expresses this. "O God, who in smoke and fire upon Mount Sinai gave the law to Moses, and who revealed the new covenant in the fire of the Spirit, grant, we pray, that kindled by the same Spirit which you poured forth upon your apostles, we may fulfill with joy your commandment of love. We ask this through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." I'd like to invite us all to stand. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 14, beginning at the 8th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please do be seated. I invite Bishop Genève to address us.
It is good to be here again with you, and particularly special to have St. Clements Elstonwick here as well. I'm actually here twice in one year for confirmation, and then yesterday evening as well with Emmanuel Iranian Church. And I do want to say that as I've been here before, I've spoken about the vision of the diocese making the word of God fully known, and I do want to affirm how the Emmanuel Iranian Church is a wonderful example of what it means for us to be reaching across boundaries, and it's a great blessing and a great thing to be under Mark, seeing that as an important role that this parish and also he has in that, and seeing also Kaveh and Hoda developing in their vocation. So it's lovely to have you here, Saha, this morning as well. I also want to affirm too, Mark in his role as area dean. He referred to my weighty responsibilities. I cannot possibly do it on my own, and I greatly value those who work with me as both archdeacons and area deans. A service of baptism and confirmation is a wonderful way to celebrate Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's an opportunity to reflect more deeply on what it truly means to be open to the Holy Spirit, transforming lives, to be mature in Christ. So it's wonderful that we can bring out more deeply one of our strategic directions as a diocese. We've prayed this morning specifically for the Holy Spirit, and we've prayed specifically for the Holy Spirit to strengthen Amy, Sarah, Grace, Keith, and Charlotte particularly, she's baptised as well, with the gifts of grace, wisdom and understanding, discernment and inner strength, knowledge and true godliness. In order to be filled with the wonder and awe of God's presence, as we pray for Saha as well. These weeks following the Easter season in the church calendar celebrate a juncture point in the program of God, so to speak. First, there's Jesus returning to heaven, his ascension following his resurrection. Secondly, the Holy Spirit coming, Pentecost, what we celebrate today with the death and resurrection of Jesus. The victory has been won, the new age has dawned, and the outpouring of the Spirit, Pentecost, is the confirmation. And thirdly, the church going out to witness mission as we await Christ's return. An unknown length of time which is to be filled with the church's worldwide, Spirit-empowered witness to Jesus. Yes, there are challenges, and I'll come back to that later. But what we heard described in our Acts reading on the day of Pentecost gives St. Luke's perspective of the time we live in. It's a time of opportunity, an opportunity for all peoples, an opportunity in abundance. The apostles are all together in one place, whether it's in the upper room or the temple, we don't know. As Mark reminded us, it was the day the Jewish people gather to celebrate the first fruits of the wheat harvest. They're presented to God in what they were gathering to celebrate 50 days from the first Sunday after Passover. And the Spirit comes upon them accompanied by three supernatural signs: wind, fire, separating and coming to rest on each of them, and then all filled with the Holy Spirit, beginning to speak in other tongues, that is, languages of some kind, as the Spirit enabled them. Wind, fire, speech, all natural, yet supernatural. Wind and fire associated with God in the Old Testament, Ezekiel calling upon the wind to blow upon the dead bodies, was the breath of God, breathed upon them and filling them with new life. The burning bush, which Moses saw in Exodus, was the presence of God. And Luke concentrates on the third, the languages. When the people outside hear all the noise, a crowd gathers, and Luke describes them as God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. He wants to emphasize their multicultural nature. And what he does is he moves from east to west across the then known world of the Roman Empire. All of these peoples hearing the disciples of Jesus speak in their own language, including descendants of Noah, and so also Shem, Ham and Japheth. So also what's being brought out here, those Bible stories are not to be forgotten, by the way. You're right that it's more than just knowing the Bible stories, but don't forget them, because that really brings out how Pentecost is a complete reversal of the Tower of Babel. It's a symbolism of unity, a unity going beyond races and nations and language boundaries. It's why he's emphasising all the different people in the crowd. He's wanting to actually emphasise that here we have a new spiritual reality, and that is the new spiritual reality in which we live out our calling as followers of Jesus. Some dismiss what's happening as the result of drunkenness, but as St. Peter says, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, as he goes on to say to the crowd, what they have witnessed is Spirit-filled believers declaring God's wonders in foreign languages, that is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel's prediction that God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh, on all sorts of people, young and old, from all different places. The Spirit was showing that the long prophesied coming day had arrived. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we are in that long day of opportunity here in St. Mary's Caulfield, last night with the Emmanuel Iranian Church, celebrating the day of Pentecost 2,000 years later on the other side of the world in Dandenong. So the disciples went from being locked away in a room to being missionaries around the world. That is the transforming power of the Spirit. The day of Pentecost took them to living a new reality way beyond their imagining. Yet, of course, there are challenges, and that's what we heard in our gospel reading. The disciples, the night before the crucifixion, being overwhelmed at the thought of the loss of their leader and what would life look like. And yet here is Jesus talking about what they're going to be doing and all this sort of stuff. And they're absolutely overwhelmed. It was amazing to hear the confidence today in those being confirmed and their commitment in living out their promises. And today we have this reminder that you won't be doing it in your own strength. You'll be doing it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And the thing I want to say, maybe some of you all aren't quite so confident as that. The thing with opportunity is it can be so easy to put something in the way of it. But we do it, as I said, we keep the promises that you have made in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's worth reflecting on those words of John. See, Philip, one of the disciples, saying, you know, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. He's really missed the point. Jesus is saying to Philip, he's saying to us, don't come with a set, fixed idea of who God is and what he wants from us and try and fit Jesus into that. Look at Jesus, the Jesus who wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, the Jesus who washed his followers' feet, and you will see the one true God. And more than that, you will point others to God. We will be believed as we speak the earth-shattering truth he spoke. When we continue to do what Jesus did, even greater things, obeying what he commanded. As we see God answering our prayers, prayers that we ask in the name of Jesus, that is, prayers prayed in the light of who Jesus is, his character, as shown in his life, love, and sense of purpose. And we've been caught up into that. We've been drawn into that. And we let that shape what we see needs doing, what we should be aiming at within what is possible for us, and what resources we need to do it. And that is what it means for us to live out this new spiritual reality, this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, this side of Pentecost. And in how Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, we see what it means to have the Spirit within us. See, Jesus is promising to send his own Spirit, his own breath, his own inner life. He is promising that his people will be able to do things he couldn't do when he was physically present. Jesus is saying now by the Spirit, they'll be able to do all kinds of things, greater works than these. And we sit especially as we think about the word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit, advocate. The word which the NRSV translated as advocate, you'll see it translated in different Bibles differently. And one of the ways it can be translated is helper or counsellor. The Spirit comes to give God's people the strength and energy to do what they have to do, to live for God and witness to his love in the world. But it's more than a helping hand. Another word used is comforter. The Holy Spirit gives us extra strength to meet special needs. See, if you think about when someone goes through a tragedy, it's the presence of other people, hugging them, being alongside them, giving them strength for the next moment, then the one after that, the one after that. Outwardly, nothing has changed. The tragedy is still a tragedy. But the ability to cope with disaster has changed. The presence of other people gives us strength to go on. It's the kind of strength Jesus is talking about, the presence of the Holy Spirit gives us. We have God within us, giving us that strength day to day to go on whatever challenges, whatever things we face in life. And then to come back to how the NRSV has translated what Spirit, the Spirit is advocate as a description. An advocate, counsellor, stands up in a law court and explains to the judge or jury how things are from their client's point of view. The advocate pleads the case. Many people veer away from the image of the law court in the Bible, but it's actually an incredibly comforting image. I think it's because we take for granted what we have in Australia, where, you know, if I'm charged with a crime, then it will go to court and we'll get a result. I have a husband who's a prison chaplain and he works at MRC. He'll tell you that it actually takes longer than what we might expect, but it does happen, and that's actually very different to other countries where people can be charged and then just left. See, in the court, in the heavenly law court, where God is judge, in that court, people, his people, can rest assured that their case will be heard, that God will constantly be reminded of what is happening for them, for you and I, the joys, the difficulties, the suffering, because the Spirit, the Advocate, will be pleading on their behalf, the Spirit of Truth. You have all stood today and either confirmed the promises yourself, made at your baptism. I don't have all your names here, which I'm a little bit annoyed about, and I don't want to lose my way, but I'm going to try and remember them. There's Saha, and that's right, you can help me, Saha, and there's Grace, and there's Charlotte, and there's Amy, and Sarah, and Keith. I wasn't doing too badly there. But it's really important what's happened today, because you have public, and it's what was brought out in the testimonies, you have really publicly declared, yes, I want to belong. Belong to Jesus, belong to the church. It's actually quite important that you stand in the sanctuary, I think. It's actually saying, yep, I'm here. I want to stand up for what I believe, say yes to Jesus' call to follow him. And I want to say it's an opportunity that will lead to other opportunities. Even Keith, you'll be surprised. Opportunities to grow into the person God wants you, has designed you to be, to grow in your desire to be used by God, and so opportunities to witness, to serve, and to discover your vocation, your calling as a Christian. To be part of this long day of opportunity that we are in, because confirmation is the opportunity of taking responsibility for your faith, representing Jesus Christ in the world. We are Christ's ambassadors, God's co-workers in the world. And my prayer is that as you are strengthened by the Holy Spirit, you, along with all of us, will not let your hearts be troubled, will not put your fears in the way of opportunity, but will take hold with confidence the peace that Jesus offers, that God will use you greatly in this long day of opportunity as you grow into the person God has called you to be, drawing others to turn to Christ and repent of their sins.